You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
We are in a season called Holy Spirit. This morning I'm going to continue part 5 in this Holy Spirit series. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 19. If you don't, you can look up on the screen or text that number. Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Some disciples." "And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we never even heard of the Holy Spirit.' He said, 'In what then were you baptized?' They said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'No, no, no. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one that would come after him. That is Jesus.' And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus." Verse 6, "And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying." Here's what I came to tell you this morning. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you release the culture of heaven to earth. Title of this message is Holy Spirit Part 5, Receive the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Go ahead and just put your hands out to receive this morning. So Holy Spirit, teach us how to receive you. Teach us how to encounter you. Father, I pray right now that you would come and have your way. Everything we do is for you. We don't make room for you. We give you the room. You are the owner of this church. We are your stewards. We say, have your way. Holy Spirit, I pray you would breathe upon your word. I thank you, your word is alive and true. I pray the logos, the written word of God, becomes rhema. It becomes the spoken, the moving spirit, rhema, revelation of God. Lord, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. We declare there's no spirit, but the Holy Spirit has permission to be in this room. We say, fear go. We declare anxiety go. We declare any tormenting or distracting spirit, you must go. And Holy Spirit, come and abide in this place. Father, I thank you. No one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen and amen. We're in part 5 of the Holy Spirit series. And if you missed any parts of the series, it's available on our YouTube and podcast. But in part 1, we talked about he's the Holy Spirit. That's his name. That's what describes him. And in order to know the Holy Spirit, you have to know holiness. In part 2, we talked about birthing reformation and what is conceived in the Spirit. That is the thing that's made holy. In part 3, we talked about Holy Spirit comes. He comes where he's welcome, and he stays where he has ownership. Last week in part 4, we talked about he's coming to your house. And when you have a heart for his house or a heart for mercy, his presence comes to your house. This week, if you're taking notes, write this down. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you release heaven's culture here on earth. Tuesday morning, we're at staff prayer, and I was standing right here in the altar while the carpet's still red, and I heard the Holy Spirit say this to me. He said, "Receive my spirit." Now, it's interesting because 2 weeks ago, I was driving my car, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "I'm coming to your house." So if we believe the Holy Spirit is coming to our house, then the next step is to prepare to receive him. Now, I want to just take a moment and just at Mercy Culture, we say downshift all the time. That means slow down and communicate. So I just want to downshift for a moment, and I want to slow down and communicate something to you, is that you have to steward God's word. I'll say it again. You have to steward prophetic words. I might have to minister on this sometime and teach on this. And sometimes when you're in an apostolic, prophetic, spirit-led community of a bunch of radicals like Mercy Culture, can I get an amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's like this every week. Turn to your second choice and say, no, for real, it is. So when you're in a culture like this, sometimes you're so excited about God speaking, you don't listen. Have you ever been with a friend and you both want to tell each other something and one person wins and they're like, okay, you tell them first. And you don't listen to a word they say, you just can't wait to talk. That's how we are with the Holy Spirit sometimes. where we ask him to speak and then he speaks and then we don't pay attention. I'll give you an example. The elders went away on a prayer retreat. We do a couple of prayer retreats a year, and we went away last September, and we clearly heard the Lord. I mean, audibly as clear as they heard the Holy Spirit say, go to 2 services in January. And so we're like, sweet, we've got the team together, plan 2 services, let's do this thing. And then we get a miracle building that seats 2,000 people. And we're like, sweet, we don't have to go to 2 services. 2 services is way more work. We just have one. And so we show up, and on the first Sunday in the new building, every parking spot in the entire property is full. People are parking on the cars, on the grass, excuse me. Someone might have been done that, hadn't got back to me yet. People parking on the grass all over, children's ministries in overflow. And I was like, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit warned us, and I assumed I didn't have to obey. So we did a quick mad dash and got everybody together and said, okay, the Holy Spirit said in January, go to 2 services. We have 3 weeks left to get into obedience. During COVID-19 shutdown, how many glad the church is open? There was like 4.5 people in the building and I was standing right here. I'll tell you one thing that was great about this is that during COVID, we got to back our value that church is for the Lord. Too many people think the church service is for you. I didn't like it that much. I don't care. People talk about it all the time. People worried about people leaving the church. I can care less if people leave the church. When's the last time you heard a pastor say that? I really don't care. I only care if the Holy Spirit leaves the church. Because if he leaves the church, I'm out, y'all. And I'm standing right here, and it's me, Jasmine, Heather, and 2.5 other people. And we're having church for the Lord, and I look up to the balcony, and I was like, wow, Lord, what an amazing just moment full of the presence of God, and no one's in the room. And I heard him speak to me, and he said, I'm going to fill it again even more, and it'll be soon. That was on a Sunday morning. On Monday, the governor announced church is essential and to reopen, and following Sunday, we had church, and the last 2 weeks, we've had our record attendance at Mercy Culture since we've opened up. I'm trying to teach you this morning, you have to pay attention to what God speaks. So instead of running to a service, hoping you get called out and get a prophetic word, have you stewarded the prophetic word he's already given you? We have to steward God's word when he's speaking. I heard the Lord say, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe God is speaking to you today. I believe he's coming to your house. And I believe this week you are preparing for him to come and dwell in your home. I believe that there's going to be a supernatural shift that took place. My God, the Lord told us last May that 2020 was going to be a year of altars and to make altars in your home. And we're just like, hey, God's going to have altars. We're going to preach in January, a series of altars, and build altars in your home. We had no idea in March the altar in your home would be your only altar. We need to steward when God speaks. When I was a prophetic evangelist, I just travel around the country and prophesy and give words and see you later, guys. I'm going home. And now when God's speaking here, we need to stop and we need to listen. I want you to listen. He's coming to your house. And you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, receive him. Acts chapter 19. It says, some disciples were followers of Jesus. So they were following Jesus, but they were lacking spiritual maturity because they did not know the Holy Spirit. Typically, this is where you offend people, where you challenge their spiritual maturity if they do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And usually people get offended at this because I'm spiritually mature. But let me ask, how mature can you be spiritually if you don't know the Spirit? You can know a lot of things about God, but there's a difference between knowing things about someone and knowing someone. You know the people that think they know everything about a celebrity? or a professional athlete. Oh, he did this when he was 6 years old. Or when he was 7 years old, he dunked for the first time. And he did this and he did that and he did this and he did that. But you don't know him. And there's a lot of people that can tell you the square footage of the tabernacle and how many grains of sand fit in the courtyard. And they know all of this stuff, but they don't know him. And I came to tell you today that you have to know the Holy Spirit. And today, many disciples don't know the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this question. Can you be a successful follower of Jesus if you don't know his Spirit? Do you know that's why it's our benediction? A benediction is the closing prayer at the end of service. Every single service you've ever been to at Mercy Culture, we close the service the same way. Exodus 33:13. It's the foundational scripture that we base this church on. Teach me your ways that I may know you and find favor. Because the heart's cry of a disciple of Jesus who knows the Holy Spirit, a spirit-filled disciple of Jesus, a spirit-filled Christian, is this: I want to know you. And when you find out more about him, all it does is drives you to know him more. It's this unquenching desire for more of his presence, for more of intimacy, for more relationship with his Spirit. It drives you to read the word more. It drives you to worship more. It drives you to intimacy when you desire to know him. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Even though he's mentioned first, we call him the third person. Genesis 1. Verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Isn't it interesting how the Holy Spirit is like the third tier, how we see it, of the Trinity? He's the least important of the Trinity, yet he's mentioned by name first. Let me break it down to you. According to Scripture, God the Father is in heaven. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He ascended back to heaven on the Mount of Olives. And according to Scripture, he sits where? Man, I love pastoring a church that knows their word. You can't respond to devils, it is written, when you don't know what's written. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus said, I'm going to never leave you or forsake you. I'm leaving you my Spirit. So when we say the Holy Spirit, we are talking about the Spirit of Jesus. This is so important to understand. The Spirit is how you feel God. The Holy Spirit is the God that you hear when you hear the voice of the God. The Spirit is the presence when you feel God's presence. When you get goosebumps. When you walk into this church and you're like, whoa, something's different. I feel like I should take my shoes off. When that happens, when you feel God, you are feeling the Holy Spirit. And the same way the disciples interacted with Jesus is the same way we're called to interact with the Holy Spirit. These disciples Paul met, they didn't know him. There was no evidence of knowing him. Let me ask this question. Is there evidence in your life of receiving the Holy Spirit? See, what we've done in the Pentecostal, charismatic, spirit-filled church world is we've made it about speaking in tongues. Which speaking in tongues is great, but I know people that speak in tongues and also speak in devils at the same time. They can speak in tongues on Sunday and then they can gossip on Monday. The bar for a life of the Spirit cannot just be in speaking in tongues. Don't get me wrong. I speak in tongues every day for a long time. It's one of the greatest weapons of spiritual warfare. It's a beautiful gift the Holy Spirit has given us. But here's what I want to let you know is I believe from a biblical perspective, it is an initial evidence, but it is not the only evidence. And the fruit of the Spirit talks about the evidence. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. Watch this. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Not your ability to prophesy. In fact, I believe 1 Corinthians says, if you can prophesy and fathom all mysteries, but have not love, it's not worth nothing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and this is everyone's least favorite, self-control. So I'm going to ask you this question. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Because your self-control will reflect your level of intimacy. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Today I'm not talking about just speaking in tongues. I'm talking about knowing the gift giver. Not relationship with his gifts, relationship with him. So I'm going to give you a tip this morning before I begin to teach on receiving the Holy Spirit. And it's this. Here's the tip, okay? If you can get this, you're light years ahead of everybody else, okay? Stop resisting him. Is anyone here with me? Stop resisting the Holy Spirit. Let me show you why. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's an action or a response with a heart that's willing. And most of us have confused receiving the Holy Spirit with resisting the enemy. And instead of resisting the enemy, we end up resisting the Holy Spirit. I'll put it like this. It's like, have you ever had a child who runs in your arms and wants you to pick them up, and they come up to you and you put your hands out and you do one of these, and you just pick them up and you're sweeping them around, and it's just this great moment and just, oh, this is great. And then have you ever like tried to put your kid into MC Kids or pick them up from the park, and you go to pick them up and all of a sudden they do this? And you're trying to, sorry live stream if you didn't get that. You're trying to pick them up and they're like throwing their shoulder like, no, I am legion, we are many. And you're trying to pick up, and all of a sudden like this like 10-pound kid now weighs 100 pounds because they're like not letting you. That's what we do in church services when we say, lift your hands and receive. No. Breathe in the presence of God. COVID. Nope. You were breathing in before COVID. Pray for your neighbor. Don't know him. Just this heart's posture of no. Are you walking to service? Okay, I'm going to see if God's here or not. And I'm going to frown so hard, my face is going to hurt. This is what we do. I'm going to try to prove, Lord, if you're really real, you'll encounter me. I'm going to teach you about this. Listen, in order to receive, the emphasis is not on the giver. The emphasis is on the receiver. Let me show you this. When Paul said, have you received, it's the Greek word lambano. And it means this. It means to actively lay hold or to take or receive by aggressively, actively accepting what is available or offered. It means this. It has to be assertiveness to the receiver. I'll say it another way. The receiver is the one that gives, it initiates it. But the focus or the attention in the transfer is on the receiver. So let me just teach this morning. The Holy Spirit has already come. Jesus has already given his Spirit. What are you waiting for? No, we make it sound like, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll just give it to me. I'm just never going to speak in tongues. I'm never going to prophesy. I'm never going to move in power. I'm never going to have wisdom. I'm never going to have knowledge, because if he wanted me to have the gift, he would give it to me. And we quote one scripture that not all prophesy, and we make that our doctrine of why we don't operate in a gift. versus ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you. Let me say it like, why is there nothing else in your life that you want or desire that you don't actively go get? So when you want the raise, when you want the promotion, you go and get it. When you desire that vacation or that new car or a boat or whatever it is that you want, you say, you go get it. When there's a desire in your heart, how many had seen a single female or a male at some time and all of a sudden you wanted to go get it? I met Heather at the gym. I hate admitting that, but that's a true story. And I may or may not have watched her for a few months and just noticed that when she came in between 5 and 5:02 on the average of 92% of the time, Monday through Friday at the gym, I may or may not have noticed. And so when she was walking into the gym at the exact proper time, I was also walking in, but I had done 20 push-ups before I walked by her and I had cologne on and I was like, hey, I didn't know you would be here. It's good to see you. Here's my number. I wrote it on my shirt. No, when you want it, you go after it. It's like when that guy who's not really saved but just started coming to church because there's a lot of cute girls at church. And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I'm serving, yeah. And he's in worship and like he's like doesn't know what to do, but he's like, he's getting into it. And then like he's in worship and he's like, yeah, Honda, Volvo, Kawasaki. And the girl's like, is he speaking in tongues or car shopping? But he's going after it. Then he marries the girl, gets saved. He's like, speaking in tongues isn't for me. Come on, somebody. And I'm not even teaching on tongues today. I'm teaching on the heart's position, the posture to receive. Here's my disposition, okay, ready? I want everything God has for me. And guess what? Even the things he doesn't have for me that are offered to me, I want to be like the woman who's like, Lord, I just want the crumbs for your table. Even the dogs get the crumb, and I will take a crumb of tongues. I'll take a crumb of prophecy. I'll take a crumb of power when I need it. I want everything you have for me. Have a heart's position to receive. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? I'm gonna give you three ways to receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, if you're taking notes, you receive when you believe. John 7:39. Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed, someone say believed, in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You receive when you believe. And Jesus, since this, was glorified and released his Holy Spirit. So you have to believe that you receive. What does belief look like? It's a certainty. It's a deep trust. When most of us got in our car this morning and went and turned it on this morning, you probably didn't stop and be like, okay. Maybe some of you did. Hopefully not. But when you turn the key or push the button or whatever it is, and you believe it's going to go on. You have to have a certainty that when God said, receive the Holy Spirit, you believe in your heart, it's going to happen. Number two, we receive when we ask. Matthew 7:8, for everyone who asks receives. Say receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now the scripture says this, you have not because you ask not. Asking is like forgiveness. You got to keep doing it. Because here's what people say when they say, well, you know, I've asked for the gift and I just didn't get it. Well, why'd you stop asking? And then others are like, I've been asking for years. And then I just determined God didn't want to give it to me. Why'd you start believing that? So you have to ask and then ask and then ask and then ask. And some of you may have been asking for gifts for years, and maybe you gave up, maybe you got offended, maybe you got hard-hearted, and you need to repent and keep asking now. Asking is like forgiveness. You keep doing it. People that don't know forgiveness are the ones that say, I've already forgiven. When you're like, hey, you know, I think you should forgive that person. I already have. Like, well, looks like it. I was talking with a young man the other day, and I said, have you forgiven? And he said, I'm still forgiving. I said, you got it. Because anyone that understands forgiveness knows it's not a one-time thing. Maybe for Jesus, but not the rest of us. And that's why when the disciples came to him and said, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive? Seven times? Enough to get us through the holidays? Jesus said, no, 70 times seven, a degree that is so crazy, it's so insane, 77 times in a day. It's a number that's ridiculous. Why? Because that's what it takes. That when you have to forgive on a daily basis. And how do you know when you need to forgive? Whenever it puffs. What I mean puffs. You know when you're blown in a balloon and it goes, and there's that initial puff? That's what unforgiveness feels like in you. All of a sudden, they text you and it's like, oh. You'll be having a dinner meal with the family and someone will say something that, you know what I'm talking about? That, but how dare you? And then all of a sudden, and 2 years ago, you also, and all, like you just go crazy. Listen, true forgiveness is constant. That's why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, when he teaches us how to pray, every time we pray, he teaches us to forgive. And then really when you're growing in forgiveness, you start looking for things to forgive, not fighting things to forgive. Let me just tell myself, I had to last week forgive my 5-year-old. I know that sounds dumb, but that punk hurt my feelings. I'm like, you are so much like your mother. kidding. I'm gonna go over here. I'm trying to preach. Guys, stop. God. So he did something that irritated, and I'm on my prayer run on the trail, and all of a sudden it comes up, forgive your son. I'm like, is this even biblical? Like, what am I doing forgiving a 5-year-old? This is weird. But watch, there was something that was in the way of my love. It was in the way of affection. It was in the way of my heart. And I had to forgive. Asking is like that. You do it as many times as it takes. Let me encourage you this morning, don't stop asking. Whatever gift you're believing for, I don't know if you were here 2 weeks ago, there's a man who flew in from West Virginia. And he stopped me, he said, Pastor, he goes, last year when you were in the high school, he said, my wife was at a business conference downtown Fort Worth and she saw your church on Facebook and the Spirit just compelled her to go and she went to the high school, it was one of like our third or fourth service. And he said, and she got baptized in the Holy Ghost and she had been believing for years for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what I loved about it? She started speaking in tongues, got her prayer language and no one laid hands on her. She's in the middle of worship and the Holy Spirit laid hands on her. You receive by asking. Number one, believe. Number two, ask. Number three, we receive by faith. Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive if you have faith. Watch. You receive the Spirit in faith the same way you receive Jesus in faith. There's a lie that the enemy tells, and it sounds like this. You don't have enough faith for, and then something will stir in your heart, and the Holy Spirit will prompt you, and then you'll hear this lie of the enemy, you don't have enough faith for that. And you go, oh, I don't have enough faith for it. I came to break that. Listen, you have enough faith. In fact, Scripture says if you have faith of a mustard seed, Let me just show you how much faith you have. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you would consider yourself a Christian, a disciple, a Christ follower. You essentially live a life pattern after Jesus and his teachings. Let me see your hands. Just wave it at me like this, okay? So a lot of people, okay? Almost everybody. So let me just break this down. If you're a Christ follower, you essentially or hopefully believe that the Holy Spirit impregnated a teenage girl. She gave birth in a grotto or manger. She gave birth to a God in the flesh, who's all God and all man, who lived to 33 years old, who never sinned once in his entire life, that did more miracles than any books on the planet could ever even capture. He was nailed to a cross. He gave up his life as a ransom for you and I to bring us back into right standing with God. He was dead for 3 days, conquered the grave, went around, did a bunch of other miracles, let people stick their hands in his side, and then he ascended back up to heaven on the Mount of Olives, right? I might have missed some in between, but essentially that, right? Okay, hold on. You have faith for that? For that. And what are you having a hard time believing for? Hold on. Your job? Can I just help somebody? Hold on. Your children? Man, you feel it? I got goosebumps right now. No, because we're breaking through. These are strongholds. Watch. That the enemy keeps you at. I don't have faith. What do you mean you don't have faith? You believe in the virgin birth. No, you got enough faith to move mountains, y'all. Quit letting the enemy lie to you. Hold on, you believe in that, but you don't have enough faith to speak in tongues? Oh, you got the faith. You just partnered with the lie. And someone needs to break that lie and partner with the Spirit of God today. Watch, number one, you believe, you receive when you believe. Number two, you receive when you ask. Number three, you receive by faith. Watch this, I love this. All three of these ways you receive the Holy Spirit is the same way people received from Jesus in the flesh. He'd be walking down the town. People would ask. They would believe. He would stop. Never in all Israel have I seen faith like this. Watch, and their belief, their asking, their faith is what allowed them to receive from Jesus. Your belief, your ability to ask, and your faith is how you will receive from the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to get into the meat now. That word receiving, to lay hold of by aggressively, actively accepting what is available or offered. One of those words for aggressive is violent. And it's not violence in a combative way. It's violence in a way that you're eager to take possession of it. Matthew 11, chapter 12, it says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So those that are eager to possess it are the ones that take the kingdom. Are you following me? Okay, aggressive means to take the kingdom by force. Now let me read Romans 14, 7 to you. You're gonna love this. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. That's where most people stop. Look at Romans 14, 7. It'll be up on the screen. For the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It is the culture of heaven. Are you following me? The culture of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, things of the flesh, But righteousness, peace, joy, watch, in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom, the culture of heaven is found in the Holy Spirit. Come on, come with me on a journey. Watch this. So the Holy Spirit is God on earth with us as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, let me show you. Watch. So originally, God created a heaven culture on earth. He called it a garden. It was heaven's culture on earth. And then sin came into the world. And a kingdom culture, a heaven culture, became a sinful culture. It became a worldly culture. It became a flesh-driven culture. So, watch, Adam and Eve were pushed out of the culture of heaven, and they had to go figure it out on their own. They lost dominion when they sinned. Then Jesus came. He was sinless. He took back dominion from Satan. Watch, he reestablished a righteousness in the earth and a right standing with God. And then he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am going to leave my spirit. Are you following me? Okay, I already read to you Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit was hovering. Watch this. The Holy Spirit knows what the heavens are like. And he is the Godhead, the member of the Trinity on earth with us. Are you with me? So when sin came and created a carnal culture, Jesus came back to bring a heavenly culture, and he left his spirit as the ambassador of heaven's culture. I'm not done yet. I got more. Watch. So Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power. When what? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, what does a witness do? A witness is someone that has seen or heard. Remember when Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I heard him say. Watch, Jesus was operating as an ambassador of heaven. And then Jesus said this, and you will be my witnesses, and the ambassador of heaven will bring heaven's culture to you and through you. I know this got weighty real quick, but here's what I'm telling you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you begin to bring the culture of heaven to earth. So when we say stuff like on earth as it is in heaven, what we are saying is, Holy Spirit, bring the culture of heaven to earth. Worship team, come and join me. See, what we've done is we've tried to build our own cultures on what we think is best or better rather than establishing the kingdom of God on earth. And let me tell you right now, our strategy cannot be making America a better version of itself. It needs to be making America a kingdom culture, a heaven culture, a righteousness culture. Watch, how does it happen? When the Spirit of God, when you receive the Holy Spirit, watch, you begin to change the culture, or another word is atmosphere. When you walk into mercy culture, something's different. And let me just tell you what's different. The Holy Spirit has free reign to do whatever he wants to do. we've said we want a culture of heaven. So that means this: we have to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit show us, teach us what heaven looks like, what heaven sounds like, what heaven feels like. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you're bringing the atmosphere of heaven wherever you go. If it's tense in your home, if there's strife in your home, receive the Holy Spirit and bring His culture and His atmosphere into your home. If your job is stressful, receive the Holy Spirit and bring His culture in His atmosphere in your home. Pastor Landon, you don't know how hostile my church environment is. No, but I can tell you what happens to darkness when light comes in. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you become a conduit for heaven to invade earth. Without the Holy Spirit, you're guessing of what heaven's culture looks like. Peter said to Jesus, aren't you gonna change? Aren't you gonna overthrow Rome? Aren't you gonna advance my political persuasion? Jesus said, I didn't come to be your politician. I'm here as your ambassador of a different kingdom, of a different culture, of a different atmosphere. I got goosebumps. If you're new, what I mean is I feel God. I feel the Holy Spirit. We have believed a lie that if God wanted us to have it, He would just give it to us. He already gave it to you. Go get it. Receive it. The violent, the aggressive, the spiritually eager, take it by force. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place? Holy Spirit, I've done my best. Would you speak now? Would you speak to the hearts of your people? Would you speak? Would you prompt? Would you lure them? Would you romance them? Would you draw them into a greater intimacy, a greater depth, a greater desire? Before you can receive Holy Spirit, you need to receive Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you would say, I need Jesus, I need a Savior, I'm a sinner, I've tried to do it on my own, but I can't, I need Jesus. I know He died on the cross for me. I know He sacrificed His life for me. I know He took my place on a judgment seat, and now He sits on a mercy seat. I need a Savior. If that's you, as fast as you can, just put your hand up and put it down. If you say, I need Jesus, I need Jesus, I need salvation today. I see your hand, I see your hand. Anyone else, you say, I need to get right with God. I see your hand. I'm not going to invite you down. This is a personal encounter. This is you right on your seat. If you say, I need Jesus, I need salvation. I saw all of your hands. Come on, pray this prayer with me, just quietly. You and the Lord, just say, Jesus, I repent. I need you. I need your mercy. I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you're God. Jesus, I love you. I give my life to you. You feel that weight? Come on, worship team, just begin to play. Play. He's coming in waves. Say it in your own words. There's no special way to do it. I want you. Let him. I want more of you. Holy Spirit, I want to know you. I want to know you. Tell him, teach me how to receive you. Teach me. I want to know you. Teach me about you. Come on, lift your hands as high as they go. All over this place, breathe in the presence of God. Come on, take a big breath. Father, I pray you would baptize people in your Holy Ghost fire right now. I pray you would draw them into a deeper level of intimacy.
Lord, you said that if we ask, if we believe by faith, we'll receive. So I pray over this congregation that they would be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. I pray, God, that they would bring heaven's atmosphere, heaven's culture everywhere they go. I pray in Jesus' mighty name that they would walk in a dunamis power, because you said we would receive power when the Spirit comes upon us. I pray that they would be lighted in darkness, that they would be your messengers of hope, of love, of grace, of mercy to dark places. I declare in Jesus' name, let them receive your Spirit. Come on, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost all over this place. If you got a prayer language, use it right now. Come on, if you're watching at home, use your prayer language. Nobody's prophesying in tongues. Come on, sing a song to the Lord. Sing in the Spirit right now. Come on, lift your voice. Say what the Spirit's saying. Do what the Spirit's doing. Have your way.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.